been battling a little throat problem for the last couple of weeks, and I've eaten so many of those Ricola lounges that I feel like I ought to be able to yodel like a Swiss mountaineer, but I can't. I'm glad to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm always honored when a pastor would ask me to fill his pulpit. Once in a while, I get asked a second time. That's unusual, but I'm glad. I want to share with you this morning from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. I'm not going to read many verses, but I'm going to let you do that. But I want to talk to us about honored service. It's good to have our service recognized. What we do, you ladies, when you bake a cake, you like somebody to say, that's a good job, well done. And so many times, though, we fail to get that kind of recognition that we ought to have. In this passage, there's a one down in the 8th verse, it says, she hath done what she could. Very simple statement, but that's by Jesus. This takes place in the home of Simon the leper in Bethany. We don't know anything about Simon. Evidently, Jesus had cured him of his leprosy, and he, out of gratitude, he had a banquet, able to bring all of these people in, bring the disciples and Lazarus and Mary, Martha was serving, and there were others who were there. They wanted to see who Lazarus was, what he was like after he had been resurrected from the dead. But it's an interesting passage because this is the saddest week in the life of Jesus probably on earth, because all of the chief priests and the scribes are out there doing their best to figure out a way to take him subtly and put him to death. They have all kinds of language that they're using against him. I'm sure they call him an imposter, they call him a faker, they call him the fact that he was working by the power of Beelzebub. They use all kinds of language against him, saying he claims that he is the Son of God, that God is his Father, and he claims that he can rebuild the temple in 3 days. All of these things they looked upon as foolishness, and they want to put him to death. It's a sad day for Jesus, sad week, but he gathered in this marvelous banquet that day. You know, it's interesting, the first week of Jesus' earthly ministry, there was an anointing after his baptism, the anointing with the Holy Spirit, because it was the start of his ministry. And then in the last week of his ministry is another anointing. Also, there is that marvelous conclusion to that ministry. And in both instances, there was a feast. There was the wedding feast in the first week and this feast in the last week of his ministry. Jesus is sitting at that feast, and I'm sure it was a very pleasant time. Outside, the world may be trying to destroy him, but inside, they are all gathered around trying to understand what Jesus has to say, and they want to know more and more about him. I can just imagine Lazarus saying, Lord, I've already thanked you, but I want to thank you again for raising me from the dead, for I can enjoy this feast tonight. And I imagine that Simon would join in and say, Lord, I want to thank you too. I wasn't dead physically, but I was dying inch by inch, day by day, and my life was almost nothing. The marvelous things that could have been happening in that pleasant kind of surrounding. Here was good food, good fellowship, wonderful conversation going on, and then all of a sudden, Mark says a woman, Matthew does too, a woman came in, uninvited, unexpected, and she knelt at the feet of Jesus with an alabaster box of ointment, a little vial or something, and began. Mark says she poured it on his head, John says she poured it on his feet, but I think she poured it all over him, because she didn't want to keep any of it for herself. All of it was going to be for him. And she anointed Jesus. And then the critics. The critics begin to say, this should have been sold, and the money given to the poor. Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always, and you can do good for them at any time. I am not going to be with you always. This woman hath done something that I want to commend her for. She hath done what she could. First of all, it makes me know that she didn't try to do something she couldn't do. There are some things she couldn't do. If this is Mary, and Mary got acquainted with Jesus at Bethany a long time before, and she loved to sit at his feet and enjoy the message that he would deliver. And she understood Jesus. She came to love him so much, and she could just read in the fact that he is so troubled. All of the conspiracy going on, and there's no way that she can stop that conspiracy. There's no way that she could postpone it. No way that she could do anything. To go before the chief priests and the scribes would have laughed her out of court. They would have laughed her and probably accused her of immorality because she wanted to do something for Jesus. So she couldn't stay that execution. She couldn't do that, and she couldn't take the heaviness off of his heart. She'd like to. She'd like to have been able to erase it and say, I want you to be cheerful as you were the first time I met you. She couldn't do that. And so she just was going to do what she could do. Jesus said she had done not what was impossible, but she had done what she could. I like to think that you and I sometimes try to do the impossible. We can't bring revival. We can pray for it. That's what he said to do. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the vineyard. We can't bring revival. We can't convict a soul of sin. We can't save persons. Sometimes, back years ago, I'd heard young men so enthusiastically say, we as a church can just get on fire and we can change the world. No, God can change the world. He can use us, but we can recognize that some things are impossible for us to do. Impossible. It's impossible, and I don't know that we have a lost person here today in this congregation, but that lost individual cannot save himself. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. The leopard can't change his spots. It's impossible for us to save ourselves. The Holy Spirit must convict and convert and cause us to know. You see, Mary and Martha, earlier on, they couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead. They couldn't do that. He was dead. They were grieving. They even fussed at Jesus. If you'd been here, our brother would not have died. They couldn't raise him. But they could help roll that stone away so that Jesus could raise him. We can't save, but we can help prepare the way so that people can be saved. We can go out into the highways and byways and compel people to come in that they can be exposed to the preaching of God's word and God can save. We can't do that. The disciples, on an occasion, would tell Jesus, send this crowd away so that they can go buy some food. But they're hungry. They don't have any food. They couldn't feed them. They came up with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. One of our vacation Bible schoolers said years ago, and a big onion. I don't know where they came from. But I guess he liked onions. But anyway, they had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. They still couldn't feed the multitude. They said, what is this among so many? This is so little. And Jesus blessed it, break it, and they could distribute it. I can't save. I can't convict. But I can preach God's word that says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I can have the opportunity to say, if you follow the instruction, you can be saved by God's grace for all eternity. So she didn't do the impossible, but she determined to do what she could. Just what she could. She didn't reason as she looked at that alabaster box or vial or bottle or whatever. She didn't reason, you know, there's no use. It's not going to help the situation if I anoint him. That's not going to cause the situation to change out there. It's not going to cause his heart to be relieved. What's the use? And some of us take that same attitude. We live in a world that's so sinful and so corrupt and so polluted. Hatred is everywhere. It's malice and envy. All of these things, sin is on the rampage. And we sometimes think, what's the use? What's the use of getting that one person saved or two? It makes a lot of difference to me. At 12 years of age, God came into my life through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so grateful. Almost 80 years now, He's been walking with me. It's worthwhile for me. Whether I'm able to do anything much or not, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm grateful for that. What's the use, she could have said. But there is use. In fact, no one else did Jesus say, like He said about her, leave her alone. She's done the right thing. She's done the thing that's good. She has done her best. We can't reason then about our world that's lost in sin. I don't know what, you know, I'm amazed more and more as I get older. I run into people, a deacon in our church not long ago said, you won't remember it. I was 9 years old. And you were preaching a revival and I was saved. Isn't that great? To be able to have a little part. I didn't save him because I didn't even know he got saved as the individual, because I didn't keep all those records. But I'm so grateful God does. Yes. Amen. And I'm glad that we heard sung, He can, He did, He has, and He will do it if we seek to do His will by His marvelous grace. We don't need to consider the cost. She looked at that. That was worth a working man's yearly wage. Expensive stuff. It came from India. Very expensive. She didn't reason. If I sold that, I could make a better investment. Nothing was too much for Jesus. She loved Him. She had come at His feet. He said she had desired that better part. She had come to know that there was something about Jesus that no one else had. He was a Savior, and she wanted so much to share that expensive gift with Him. I've never been able to give Him much, but everything I have is His. Not long ago, we had a preacher in our community visiting with us, and he said, Damon, how much land do you have? I said, I don't have any. I live on 3 acres. But it's not mine, it's His. He gave it to me to be a steward of for a little while, but I'm not going to take it with me. It's His. I don't have anything. I'm just a sinner saved by grace and being kept by Him. I'm so grateful for that. Well, we can consider the cost, but what's the value of one soul? Jesus caused us to understand if we could gain the whole world and then lose our soul, we're the loser. We've lost it all. And I'm so especially interested in through the years of these little ones. I've prayed for my kids. I prayed for my grandkids. Now I'm praying for my great-grandkids to be saved at an early age because God wants them. He loves them more than I do. And He wants them, not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He says, and here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm grateful for that. Well, my lost friend, if there was one here, you can't save yourself. You can't just reason, well, what's the use? You can stop ignoring the invitation. It's by invitation only. Jesus comes saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you eternal life. Well, let's not consider that we can't do anything. Let's consider doing our best. Amen. Mary's was a voluntary service. Nobody forced her to do what she did. Nobody even expected her to do what she did. No one could have told her to do what she did. You couldn't do that. That was hers. And she just wanted to do her best for Jesus. Amen. There was no, it was not an attempt on her part to impress the crowd. Because they're going to call her foolish, wasteful, deceived. They're going to call her all, even the disciples are entered into it. Wasteful. But she's going to grasp that once in a lifetime opportunity to do what she can for Jesus. I think many times we come to church week after week expecting the same thing, not expecting anything. But if we came determined to grasp that once in a lifetime opportunity, what difference could it make? She has done what she could. Have you? Have I? I asked myself that 2 years ago, January 18. I was in the hospital and my family thought I was going to die. And it would have been all right if I had, because I was ready. But I think about that. How much time do I have left? How many more opportunities do I have? I would love to have the opportunities. I love to try to preach. I can't preach, but I love to try. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to come here. You and I need to do our best, do what we can for Jesus and cause that marvelous thing to happen. You know something else I was thinking about? She received far more than she expected. A lot more happened than she was aware of. Not only did Jesus commend her, says she has done what she could. He caused them mouths to be shut to say, you leave her alone. Why trouble you her? She had done what she could. She's come aforetime, on time, but aforetime to anoint my body for the burying. She didn't realize that she was doing all of that. She was just showing love. And how marvelous it was that she could do this marvelous thing. But not only that, Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, in all of the world, wherever it's preached, and here now, 2,000 years ago, in this Northside Baptist Church, it's being preached again. Jesus said, I want this to be lifted up as a memorial to her that she had done what she could. That's all I want from him. He's already given me so much, but all I want is to be able to hear him say, well done, Damon. Well done. Enter into the joys of the Lord. I'm so grateful that Jesus would say, this woman was to be honored now and forevermore. She placed that expensive gift. My dad died in 1959. And one of our relatives during the time of the family gathering and so forth would say, oh, it's too bad. Fred just gave too much to the church and he died with nothing. No, he didn't. He died with the hope of heaven. Amen. He died with Jesus Christ in his life. Sure, he gave a lot to the church and didn't leave a lot behind for us kids. I didn't need anything that he had. God has so blessed him. I can't give God. I can't give him any more than what he's given me. No possibility. I'm so grateful. He loves us. So I think today, you and I need to ask ourselves a question. Am I doing my best? Am I doing what he would have me do? Am I doing the very thing that he's challenged me to do? Deacons, Sunday school teachers, the pastor, singers, whoever, are we doing it all? I ask myself over and over again, am I doing my best for Jesus? Because it's so important. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whereby God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. I'm glad to be one of his, and I'm glad for the privilege. Let me just ask, as we have a song in a few minutes and a time of invitation, have you done your best for Jesus? Could you go today and say, Lord, here I am. You gave me X number of years. In my case, he's given me almost 92 years. In your case, 30, 40, 50, 60. Have we done our best for Jesus? If not, as we sing, this would be a good time for us just to pledge ourselves to him afresh and anew to say, I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to do my best. May we stand?